We're back in the network.
Check. Is it all? Check. Is it working? Can't hear me?
Nope.
I hear you.
We can hear you, but not through the mic.
Okay, I can't hear you through the mic either. Turn it off. I turned it off. Turned it back on. What is this?
They're saying they can hear you. Don't worry.
Alright. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Check. Oh.
There you go.
Finish me! We're going to continue on the trend we've been doing the last couple of weeks, but it's going to be a whole lot, there's going to be a whole lot different service than the last couple of services, because how many's been through something like that? Matter of fact, how many can say they've been through hell and back? Yeah, twice, yeah. I came back, my coattail was on fire the first time, my hair was on fire the second time. Yeah. Well, we're gonna, like I said, we're trying to do things a little bit different. So get your Bible out, and I want you to turn to the book of Job. Not Job, Job. So I'm gonna ask you, have you got a job? That's not my problem. But I have got a problem, you can't find Job. If you can't find Job, I want you to get to your table of contents. You've got a Bible like kind of page 858. Mm. 858. God is so good. I want you to turn the book of Job, but I want you to go to chapter 42. Stand for the reading of the word. Let's just go ahead and read chapter or verse 10 all the way through. The Lord gave me this, and I believe that He gave me this to give to some people that have had some real trouble, and they had some pain, had some heartache, had some physical, mental, emotional problems. And this is to let you know that your day is coming. Amen? Matter of fact, I think your day is already here. Amen? Already here. So get your Bible out, turn to Job chapter 42, verse 10. Got your Bible to say amen?
Amen.
You don't say on me? Look in front of you. There should be a Bible in front of you. Amen. All right. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Wow. That's pretty cool. That's some powerful words. This man's been going through it for 1 year to a year and a half. He's been going through literal hell on earth. Satan has seen to it that he would curse God and die through all the things he was going through. But in chapter 42, verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brother and all his sisters and all that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and then bemoaned him and comforted him all over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone gave an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end. Somebody say the best is yet to come.
Best is yet to come.
So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, where he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, Texas. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. We can stop right there, and man, is that just glory. But it don't stop there. It's amazing how God picks up the little bitty things. He thinks any bitty things in your life that you think is insignificant, you think does not matter, you think God doesn't even care about, and He shows you, if you pay attention, He's doing something very special in your life. Amen? And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. You say, wait a minute, I thought he got back double of everything he had lost. He's only got back the exact same of sons and daughters as he had before. Let me just tell you something. Everything he had before, honestly, was earthly, and when it's gone, it's gone. But his 10 children that died before were in heaven, and so when these 10 go, there'll be 20 in heaven. 7 or 10 on earth, but 20 in heaven. So God's going to, for eternity, God's going to give him double for his trouble. So he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima. I'm not talking about pancakes or a bean. Jemima. And the name of the second was Kizilah, and the name of the third was Kerenhappuch. In all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brethren. Again, some things that are unheard of. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, you're alive and well on the throne. Ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to know that you got this. Also, to know, Lord, that you're showing somebody in here today that they've had a hard road to plow, but they got to the end of the road, and you're getting ready to show them something very powerful. If they can just get this sermon in their spirit, something special is going to happen throughout this house.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, we love you, and we praise your name. And the church said, amen. If you look at somebody and tell them, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone.
Thanks a lot.
All right, you can be seated. I'm going to be seated too. Amen. Amen. And of course, here's that declaration. That declaration I've been using for the last few weeks. Really, I'm asking a question. This question is a challenge. Are you here just to go through the service? Just to make your spouse happy? Just to make your parents happy? Just to make your friend happy? Are you here to go through the service? Or are you here to let the service go through you? If you're just going through the service, I promise you what you brought in, you'll carry out. But if you let the service go through you, you're going to bring stuff up here. You're going to drop it, and you're going to pick up something better. You're going to take it out with you.
Yes.
Our God is a God of deliverance. Our God is a God of power. Our God is a God of hope. Our God is a God that's got things under control.
Yes.
Even when we don't.
Yes.
Amen? So let's just talk for a few minutes, not much. We're going to talk about... I reckon we're going to talk about, come on up here, here we go again. Why is that? Wait for a minute, D.C. Dog, tomato, tomato, there it is. All right. Beauty for ashes. Come on back. Sounds hard, hitting them buttons too hard. Here we go, let's try it again. All right, come on. Still working out on the bugs. I guess more decon to put back there. All right. He's going back there to see what's going on. Here we go. Beauty from ashes, the daughters of Job. This is such an important, life-changing message, and I want you to listen to it, not with just your ear. I want you to listen to it with your heart and your spirit. Because I promise you, when you leave this place, you will not be the same. So now, Job, here's a man who is stripped of everything. So one day, God took care of Satan. Satan come back and God said, well, he said, is Job still worshiping? And Satan said, yeah, but that's because you got a hedge about it. You can't touch, let me touch his body. Let me touch his body. He will curse you and die. So now he gets so sick. If you look at his symptoms, he was running temperatures of 104 and 105. His skin was on fire. Wow. But yet, he didn't give up. You see, God was not finished. The end of Job's story is really not tragedy. Oh, it was tragic for about a year to a year and a half. Can you imagine being under the gun like he was under for a year to a year and a half? Can you imagine that? So this man is going through pure hell. Satan is beating him up every chance he gets. After a year or so, God steps in and turns the tragedy into triumph. Amen? Let's go ahead and read this again. He named the first daughter Jemima, the second daughter Kizia, the third Karen Hapak. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughter, and their father granted him an inheritance along with their birth. You see, what does God do when he gets ready to restore you? I mean, he don't just give you stuff when he goes to restore you. Restoration doesn't start in the driveway. Restoration don't start in the house. Restoration starts in the heart. It starts in the mind. It starts in the spirit. So now, let's just go ahead here. Let's just travel a little bit here. So now, many times people celebrate, he got double for his trouble. He lived 140 years. He saw four generations. Bada bing, bada boom. Man, double for his trouble. But so many times, and I'm guilty. We get to the daughters of Job, and we just keep on going. We don't think about what he is actually saying. For you see, you know this, if you look at the Bible. In the Bible, the story, as it's moving along, they mainly name the one that's going to carry the line. Amen? They might say they had sons and daughters, but this son's name was David, because David was going to carry the line. Well, he had his brothers there, but David was the main one. Abraham. You see all these people, their name, but very seldom do you see the daughter's name. Of course, Sarah was named because she was part of this line. But most of the time, you see very little talk about daughters. And when you do see daughters, they don't receive the same that the guys receive. The guys, they receive the name, they receive the land, they receive the inheritance, and the girls are just listed. But not this time. You see, this at the end of Job's story, God pauses the narrative. He slows everything down. And he gives us three names. They were named, they were personal, they were powerful. And this is radical. This is counterculture. So why did God allow Job? But why did Job? He didn't even talk about his sons, he's got seven sons. Don't know his first 10 kids' names. Don't know his second seven sons' names. All we know is those last three daughters. So tonight, everybody in here, I want to give you a word. If you got, look, inside these names of any person in this room that has been sitting in the ashes lately. Have you found yourself? Oh, I hear everybody sitting here, lovely, you're hanging in there, you're looking good, but you go home and you sit in the ashes. You're home again by yourself. And you just went straight the sores and pour the ashes on, because although nobody else might see it, you know it's there, but there is somebody watching. Our Father. And he sees and he knows and he understands. And so, he wants you to understand this powerful word from God. Because watch this now. Name in Hebrew culture, declaring identity and destiny. Actually, it was a covenant act or an act of covenant to name your children. An act of covenant. It was legally and spiritually binding. Which meant you were part of the inheritance. Nothing could change that. So not only did God restore Job's wealth, he restored his legacy. And here, the daughters received the inheritance equal to the sons. Wow. Find that anywhere else in Scripture. That was radical back in that time. So, God could have just said, ended it in verse 12. He could have listed the numbers, 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 donkeys, 7 sons and daughters. And he could have said, Job got it all back, doubled, and he died peacefully 140 years old. The end. And we all be clapping. That's awesome. God said, somebody hurt like you hurt. Somebody's been through hell and back like you've been through. He didn't stop there. The Holy Spirit moved the pen and started writing the names. Past the livestock, past the family, tally. He gave these names of his daughters to draw attention to the script. So now, let's look at it. The first daughter is Jemima. Jemima means bright as day. Duh. It's a symbol of peace. Purity. It's a symbol of new beginnings. How many here could use a new beginning? Amen. Come on, put your hands up. How many here could use a new beginning from time to time? Amen. A start over, a redo, a reset button. I went to Office Depot and I bought me a reset button like they said they were selling. I bought that thing and I hit that and nothing happened. Just a little bitty voice woke up and said, reset. Maybe. All right. You know, DC was gutting up one day. This little bitty fella. I went to the baby. I saw a picture said baby changing station. Never seen one before. And it was in the men's room. He wouldn't put cutting up, so I carried him in there, stuck him in, and closed it and pulled it out. The same baby. I wouldn't have gotten rid of him for anything. I'm playing with him. All right. Listen to the insight here. The dove was a sign of the waters of affliction ever seen. How many know how long Noah, we get it 40 days and 40 nights. Everybody knows 40 days and 40 nights. Noah was on the ark 267 days. He was on the ark for 38 weeks, 9 months, and one day. Wow. And how do you know that it was safe to come out? He sent out a dove. And the dove brought back an olive. Some of y'all need to look out your window right now because God's got a dust. You've been hurt too long and too hard. You see, after the storm, God gave him peace, just like with Job, before he gave him a new home, you know, a new family, a new heritage. He gave Job peace. The Holy Spirit descended as a dove. When Jesus was baptized, it was a promise of the presence and power of God. I'm here to tell you something right now, and if you don't shout, I'll shout for all of us. Now is, get ready, your season of destruction is over. Come on! Your season of destruction is over, glory! I see the dove flying in this place. Praise God! Yeah. Some of y'all have been in the storm so long you forgot what it was like to feel peace. Some of y'all have been in survival mode so long you're just waiting for the next flow. And God says, look at the dove action. Your window, and then the next flow, here comes peace. Hang on to it. true restoration is not wealth, it's not health, it's peace. I hear people all the time, they go, I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he said, you can take everything I own, my business, everything I own at my house, everything, including my family. For just a moment of real peace. Wow. That's a powerful, powerful thing. So, Jemima. Jemima means peace. When God restores you, He doesn't just give things back. He gives you a peace that passes all understanding. So get ready. Get ready. Somebody shout out, feel it. The dove of heaven is hovering over this place. Say, I feel Him. That didn't sound right. Alright. Duke just won the national championship. Okay, Carolina just won the national championship. Okay, God sent His dove to bring you peace. Alright. So, you've been listening to the devil too long. So why does the enemy stolen? Here you go. He tells you lies. Remember, Satan only has really three weapons: steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? So the first lie. Ready? You will never have peace again. You heard that, lady? I will never have peace in my family, in my marriage, on my job. I will never have peace again. But the truth is, listen, he named you Jemima, which means peace. The second lie that he loves to tell us is, your best days are behind you. Have you heard that? You know, I have discovered something that is true. The older I get, the better I was. Yes. But my best days are behind me. My best days are ahead of me. Amen. Come on. Your best days are behind you. They're ahead of you. Don't listen to the lies. The truth is, your latter shall be greater than your former. Come on! Here's one more. God has forgotten your name. I was talking to somebody not long ago, and they actually told me, I said, you got to trust God in this. You really got to trust God. And they said, I don't think God sees me anymore. I don't think God loves me anymore. I don't think God cares about me anymore. And I said, He loves you so much. He loves you more than you ever imagined. And Isaiah 43 says He knows us by our name. Amen. They went by fast. Look, somebody shouting knows my name.
He knows my name.
All right, good, good, good. We're getting here. We're getting this thing. My fingers must have got happy. I get happy over here. Amen. God's truth over a lie. Ready? The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. John 10:10a. But I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it to the full. John 10:10b. I've called you by name. You are mine. Somebody shout, I'm His.
I'm His.
Come on, say it loud. I'm His.
I'm His.
Say it again like you really, really mean it. I'm His. Amen, amen, amen. Now, let's go to the next dog. Ready? Cassia. Cassia. A fragrant spice. It's a bark spice. It's like cinnamon. It's a fragrant spice used in the holy anointing oil. And the only way to really use this is you have to take it, you have to dry it out, according to Exodus 30 and 24, you have to dry it out, and then you have to crush it. Somebody say crush.
Crush.
Now look at somebody and say, you mean fresh legs?
Fresh legs.
See, it's oil used to anoint and sanctify kings and priests. It was used poured over the Ark of the Covenant. It was a point of consecration, this anointing oil. And it had to be crushed and it had to have all these ingredients in it, but the main ingredient was cassia. That fragrant smell. So this name actually means God, look, ready? God anointed what the enemy tried to bury. Y'all see his name? God used what the devil tried to crush. He used what the devil tried to destroy. He is proof that your pain was not wasted. It produced a fragrance. Look over here and tell somebody, say, something's smelling good in here.
Something smells good in here.
You can choose on to say that. Something's smelling good in here. I said I wasn't going to say any funnies, but I'm going to have to. I remember we were in Benson Church of God. We were having a foot washing service. And we had this great old big fellowship hall. And we let the ladies go in there because they were running and dancing and shouting and having a ball. I took all the guys in there to me in this little bitty room. And I told my boys. And I told another guy, make sure you wash your feet before you come and change your socks. When we get in that little bitty room. I watched these. He pulled the socks off and they were stuck. They kept pulling. Every time he pulled an inch, I smelled a mile. Pulled an inch, I smelled a mile. Pulled an inch, I smelled a mile. And then Daniel pops up and grins and pulls his shoe off. Wouldn't even come off. He took his shoe off. And I couldn't tell if the sock was on or off. That's how bad his feet were. And then Ricky comes and finished it off. Honestly, I couldn't even enjoy the foot washing. I was too busy trying to hold my breath. I almost threw up in there washing water. And I told them, next time we have this, I'm going to put Clorox in y'all. When you've been crushed, what a fragrance. Wow. It's amazing how we can have a storm over the night and it's got you worried. You see the thunder or see the lightning and you hear the thunder. But in the morning, what do you smell? It's a beautiful smell after that storm is gone. Some of y'all need to stop, walk around looking like you have just been chewing on briars and start smelling. Because God's doing something special with all the things you've been through. Amen. Let me tell you something, a little secret here you might not have known. Suffering has a scent. Cassia releases its fragrance under pressure. Same thing with you. You can't release this fragrance until you've been under pressure. Have you ever been around somebody, you know, you've been around somebody that's a Christian, and every time you get around, you feel good? You ever notice that? You feel good, you feel like something good's getting ready to happen. You know why? Because they've been crushed. And what you're doing is you're smelling that spiritual fragrance. And you know something's coming because they've been through the fire. God didn't waste it. They've been through the fire. And God has done something special for them. You may have been crushed, but now you're anointed. Sorry, raise your hand and say, I'm anointed. I'm anointed. Say it. I'm anointed. Amen. Listen carefully. The pain that you've been through, this season of trial, the hardness, the battle with Satan was just preparation. You see, Keza was not named in spite of her father's suffering. She was named because of it. The anointing on your life came out of the fire. I'm telling you, I can tell just as good when I'm in the enemy's territory if I got somebody that has never been through anything. Because they'll get you hurt. You're trying to fight Satan and trying to take care of business at the same time you're trying to calm them down and trying to help them up because they've never been through anything. Let me tell you something. Once you've been through something, things change. And what the enemy meant for destruction, God turns into perfume. Go ahead and say it. I smell it, Lord. Come on. I smell it, Lord. That's right. you've been under pressure so long, you don't even realize that smell that surrounds you. You know, when Martha and Mary anointed Jesus with that expensive spikenard, it was just before he was taken off the beating, the week before he was crucified. And when the soldiers went in to the garden looking for Jesus, I could hear the guard saying, "What's that smell? What's that smell?" But the Bible says Mary anointed him because of what he was getting ready to face. What's that smell? And when they carried him in and the soldiers beat him and they pulled off his robes, I mean, what is that smell? And even at the cross, when they took his garments and part of the set for his priest's garment, I could hear him now saying, "What's that smell?" It's because although he'd been crushed, God was turning this to good for all of us. Amen. So then finally, you know, I'm getting close to the end. I'm getting ready to crush it. Y'all ready? Jared Papa, the third daughter, this name means horn of the eye paint or horn of beauty. It's two things. It's an elegant vase. It was very costly. And it held the beautiful stuff on the inside. So it's a two for one. So in the Hebrew culture, beauty was associated with radiance and abundance and honor. So the horn symbolizes strength and glory and power of God. So after all the suffering, after the ash heap, after the boils, after the accusations, after the longest season of pain he could ever imagine, a year to a year and a half. Wow. You know, when they told me, and you've heard me say this before, but I never said, "Job, I think I know how you feel." I remember when they told me my wife and my daughter could die. Linda and Bethany, either one, could die anytime during the next 4 days. And the doctors were crying and holding me and asking me, "Could they give you something?" I said, "I don't need anything." I said, "I got him." And I go sit at the window. And every time I would start out praying how great God was. And then I said, "God, I really believe it's the closest I've ever felt to saying, 'Job, I honestly have just a little bit of feeling about what you." Some of y'all in here, you've gone through so much pain and injury. You know, Job went through all this injury, and then he came to his wife. And his wife looked at him and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Let me talk junk about her, but you gotta remember something. She experienced the same losses that Job experienced. There's two pills on the plate. And she had a whole different outlook. And so instead of him being comforted by his wife and him comforting her, she just stabbed a knife in his heart. I can't keep asking me all the time to say, how do you sound as death and destruction, the EMS or a deputy thing or a law thing or something in the jail or a suicide? You've been around this, you're doing CISMs or systems. How does it not crush you? And I said, because I'm not married to Job's wife. God gave me a beautiful, her name is Mary. No matter how rough I'm feeling, when I come after a suicide or schism or whatever, I go home and Linda sees me and she goes, "Come here." And she puts her arms around me. I don't mean just no put, I mean she puts around me. And then she grabs me. She says, "God loves you and I love you." And she gives me a kiss. and it melts it away. Somebody asked me, how do you do this? I said, I got two things. I got God, and I got my life. And I thank God for both of them. Amen. So here we go. Ready? Get ready. We're getting really close. God saved the most extravagant name for last. After loss, after shame, after suffering, God gave him a daughter that he named Glory. Amen? That's what it means. It means glory. He restored the beauty that pain tried to take away. Some of you in here right now, you need to let God send His Holy Spirit to do to you what He does to me through my life. Let Him grab you. Let Him take you. And God loves you. And I love you too. And just hold you until you feel it go away. Wow. You see, have you given up on your beauty? God's asking you that today. Have you stopped believing that restoration is even possible for you? Have you let grief convince you that your best season has passed? You see, He doesn't just fix the wound. He makes it a testimony. You've seen it. I wear it all the time. God's got this. Either way I win, I've given away 1,500 of these things. And they give away about 10 or 15 every week. And most of the time, I don't even show it. They see it, ask me about it. But when I'm going through something, I remember that darling Beth with that face she had. And I watch y'all ask, how you going through this, Beth? And she said, God's got this. And I say, you know, the things aren't looking good. She said, Daddy, wait a minute. And I keep it right there to remind me that her death also became a testimony. And 1,500 people plus walking around with her testimony on their own. See, God doesn't waste your pain. Get me close. I'll close that. I'm not going to say that anymore because you already know I'm not. Ready? Y'all smile. Karen Habak says, God saved the greatest thing for last. And this, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. So here it goes. Ready? Here it is. Here's the big three dimensions of restoration. This is what's happening in your life right now if you'll let God do it. Right now, if you'll just listen with your heart and with your spirit, you're going to see a change that you're going to see so different when you leave this place. Ready? Here it is. Get ready. Three dimensions. Number one, Shemima, peace, restored. Before He calms your spirit, before He calms your finances and restores your sleep and gives by what was taken and tells you that the flood is over, the first thing He does is He gives you peace. In the midst of your storm, He gives you a peace that you know is not yours. You know that God did this. It's a very, very powerful thing. Peace is not the last thing. Peace is the foundation. Number two, Kizia, your purpose is restored. He redeems your suffering. He takes what the enemy designed to destroy you and He transforms it into an anointing. He takes the cassia, which had to be pressed and cut and dried, and turned into sacred oil. He takes all your scars and all your pain, and puts it in a pulpit of wherever you're at, and people listen to what you got to say because you've been through something, and you come out on top. Amen. Look at somebody that's got tender. Amen. And third, praise restored. He gives you beauty and glory. He makes you radiant again. He restores your dignity and your countenance and he restores your confidence and your laughter, and he makes you beautiful. Isn't that awesome? The Lord blessed the latter part of Job more than in the former part. Amen. The best was at the last. So get ready. The progression of Revelation. Your suffering. Look, he gives you peace first. Then the blessings come. And then he calms the storm inside of you. Watch. God gives you peace first before the blessings come. He calms you before the storm, or while the storm's still inside of you. The suffering is redeemed. Amen. The fragrance of anointing rises up from the ashes. The final act of God also is more glorious than where you began. So here we go. Getting ready to call y'all up here. Just getting ready. Remember, you're getting ready to come up here. All right. Here it is. He calls you by name. He's the God of names. He's the God of reversal. What was lost will not be lost forever. The God of inheritance. He includes you in his legacy. The God of beauty. He makes beauty from broken pieces. Amen. What this means today, when you come up here today, you're going to receive a new name. I don't know what that name is. God knows what that name is. And God's going to do something special. Stop identifying with your pain. Listen to me. I can't say it enough. Stop identifying with your pain and start walking in your God-giving destiny. Amen. Look, some of y'all have allowed your pain to give you a name. You walk around and say, I'm broken, and I'm no good, and I'm nothing, and I'll never see the light of day again. I will never come out of this alive. I cannot believe I've got to go through this the rest of my life. Let me tell you something. He's called you broken, but you say, I'm Jemima Peace. He calls you wasted. You say, I'm Cassia. I'm anointed. He calls you forgotten. Say, I'm Karen Hopper. I am beautiful. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Just the cross is Jemima, Kissia, Karen, Hypok came after the suffering, they came after the suffering, not during the suffering. Amen? Ready? Release the ashes. That's going to be hard for some of you because your ashes have become your identity. If I could see in your pocket spiritually right now, some of y'all are carrying ashes with you right now. Because it's become your identity. You've carried it so long, you've been in it so long, you don't know how to drop it. Today, we're going to drop those ashes. Here's why. You say, well, God hadn't done anything for me. He's trying. Watch this. God cannot build your beauty as long as you hold on to yesterday's rubble. Look at somebody say, let it go.
Let it go.
Look at somebody say, let it go.
Let it go.
Now raise your hands and say, God, help me to let go.
God, help me to let go.
Amen. So, today we're going to come to the God who restores. If the enemy has stolen your peace, your fragrance, your beauty, God is calling you to the altar right now. This is coming up here. He restored Job. And he restored you. I want you all to stand up. Stand up, everybody. You ain't got to be a member of the church to do this. You can be a visitor and it is fine. Right now I'm going to invite everybody to come up to the God who restored. Though your beginnings were small, your latter days are going to be very great. Job 8 and 7. Everybody come up here. Line up. We're going to do something a little different today. It's going to be different, but it's okay. It's fine. Everybody come up. It don't matter If you're just visiting, it's okay. Come on up. This is a day of power and a day of anointing. This is a day that's going to change your life forever.
More than the former.
Come on, y'all, put your name there. Ready? And the Lord blessed the former part of David's life more than the former part. Wow, that's awesome! Beauty from ashes, beauty from ashes, beauty from ashes. God is so awesome. So, so awesome. Yeah, you know what? We got one person. We got one more. There you go. There you go. So happy. God is awesome. Now, go sit down for a minute. Go sit down for a minute if you can. God is so awesome. Thank you. Now it's a delight. God is so awesome. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Somebody else, look at somebody and say, I'll never be the same again. Say it.
I'll never be the same again.
Amen. Next week we're going to be talking about, don't just lay there, get up. I'm not talking about getting out of bed either. Don't just lay there, get up. Amen. God is so awesome. I love Him so much. And I know He's got us. Give it to dismiss, and all the raise your hands. All the panel being baptized today, so I can get a little count here. Who else? One, two, three. All right, three. Okay, we're being baptized today. All right, we got the pool. Thank all the guys that worked on the pool. I think Travis and Jenny probably worked on it the most. And we had to kickstart that bad boy. It's been a while. So now we're going to start offering baptisms a lot. So everybody can have a chance to have a baptism. It's going to be okay. So if you want to be baptized and you didn't today, don't worry. We're going to try like every 3 months to go ahead and offer baptisms so people can be baptized. And it's, now I have heard all the time, but if you've already been baptized, should we get baptized again? That's been you and God. Feel the need to be baptized, you know, that's fine. Come on up, go to us all. They were coming up, DC and Daniel, I think they were baptized about 30 times apiece. Finally, one stuck. They were good boys, I'm playing. But every time the others would get baptized, they wouldn't get baptized too. I said, come on, let's go. The more the merrier. Amen. So we're going to dismiss church and all them want to hang around because it's going to take a few minutes because they got to go in. I got to go in and change my clothes. Brandon's going to help us. Brandon's got to change his clothes. And once we get baptized, they have to change their clothes. So it's going to be a few minutes. So if you want to sit here and be part of it, that's fine. We ask you to. And what I want you to do is they're going to go up and they're going to give you a testimony. When they give a testimony, when they go down, when they come back up, as soon as they come up, I want y'all to shout. Okay? I mean shout. When they come by the water, I want you to shout. Okay, let me tell you something about baptism too. Baptism is not a sacrament. Okay? A sacrament has saving value. It is something that does good. Here's the sacrament right here. Baptism is an ordinance. There's three ordinances. Baptism, communion, and feet washing. And baptism is working on an outer attitude. Communion is on an inward attitude. And foot washing, again, is on an attitude. They're all dealing with our attitudes and how we see things and how we trust things. So all I got to do is they get us close. They keep us close to this. That's what they're there for. They keep us close to this. We celebrate what He has done for us. So, this is an ordinance, but when we do this, I'm telling you, when they come up, I want you to shout, shout. Okay, when we come walking out, somebody's coming with a song. Y'all pick one. as they're walking out, start walking around, I want y'all to start singing. You can have music, you don't even need music. I don't know. Whatever you want to do, but sing a song. You can sing Amazing Grace if you want to, as they're walking up and coming around. And then I'll get y'all to be quiet while we do it out there. Grab it. Why don't we do that when somebody comes up? Yeah, that's how bad your hands are shout. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and we're going to. Alright. I'm saying the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. And all that want to stay, you're welcome, please. More the merrier, and I'll stay. And then. You'll see us go out when we come back in. When we come back in, we're going to look like angels. We're going to look like angels. Amen. Don't get your feet, don't get your wings, but just in there. Ready? All right. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Lord God, it's an honor and privilege to be able to stand for me this day, Lord. I say back in life and love. Back in this service today, Lord, the service of all of us. We ask the praise to be in the middle of being baptized, Lord, with the Holy Spirit on him. Father, go with us as the party forward to take your words and spoke in that building. You ought to be a champion. Be a spoken for your son, Jesus Christ. Father, we do thank you for all of that in life, mercy, and grace, and right upon us. Now we ask all this in your son's name. And this I say, amen.